Hello and welcome to the April 2014 edition of The President's Perspective on your station, 88.9 KETR. This is a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight. This month, we're doing something a little bit different. Today, we're capitalizing on our relationship with NPR, the public media organization that provides Northeast Texas with programs like Morning Edition, All Things Considered, The Diane Rehm Show, and hourly newscasts, among many others. We're broadcasting a live program from the well-appointed Studio 32 at NPR's headquarters in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And this locale is no coincidence, as this is the place where we can most readily catch up with our guest today.
That's right, Jared. We are pleased to be joined in NPR Studio 32 by none other than the representative of Texas's 4th Congressional District, Congressman Ralph Hall. So, Congressman Hall, welcome, and thank you so much for being with us here today. Certainly a pleasure to have you. Congressman Hall, you are well known for making history and being part of the greatest generation, but you continue to make history now through your efforts in Congress and especially your efforts on behalf of the 4th District. You recently decided to donate your papers to Texas A&M University Commerce, and we are excited and proud to receive your contribution to the school. Why did you decide on Texas A&M Commerce?
Well, it didn't make sense to send them anywhere else. I come from a family of teachers and have strong personal ties to Texas A&M Commerce. My mother, my sister, and my wife were teachers, all of them, as well as my grandson, attended what is now Texas A&M University Commerce. My mother attended school with Sam Rayburn when it was called Mayo College, and my wife, Mary Ellen, graduated from the school after we were married when it was called East Texas State Teachers College. In fact, I helped change the name from East Texas State Teachers College to East Texas State University during my tenure in the Texas Senate. So I'm proud that the school is now part of a prestigious Texas A&M system, and I'm very proud to support the campuses throughout the 4th District in Commerce and Texarkana and its newest branch in Rockwall, which opened just last year. I was very pleased to take part in the ribbon-cutting ceremony with you. It's my hope that papers will be valuable to the school, and I hope they're a good resource to the students at A&M Commerce. They're a reflection of my life in public service thus far, and it's an honor to be a part of the future of this university. Texas A&M is just of the greatest importance to me. Quality education for our nation's students is directly tied, you know, to their future opportunities, and as well as America's innovation and competitiveness. I'm a longtime supporter of our school systems, and I want to ensure students that the country and the great state of Texas receive the very best education as possible. You know, I'll always work to ensure that decisions about education are made primarily at the local level, as they should be, rather than by the federal government. Parents and administrators know best what the students need, and I support their efforts, and I'm proud to support local schools and universities like A&M Commerce in any way I can. A good story about that I know, and I heard John Conley when he made this speech. He was one of the great governors. He was telling about who ought to run the schools. And he told about a shipwreck off the coast of South America, and they knew they couldn't drink the fresh water, they would die, but they were floating around, and little known to them, their rafts had drifted into the fresh water to the mouth of the Amazon River. They said, "Ship ahoy," rang out the cry, "Oh, give us water or we die." There came a voice from the valley's waters far, "Drop your buckets where you are." And that was his way of telling them as school people to run their own schools, not let the federal government nor even the state government make the major decisions about the school. I was impressed by that.
Well, I think that's I think you'll find that almost all educators would agree with you on that, that this is we think we know what we do best, and if we can chart our own course, then we'll do a fine job of it. And I might mention as an aside, I was going actually perusing some of your papers the other day, and I ran across a photograph of Governor Conley signing the bill to make what is now A&M Commerce East Texas State University. And who do you think was standing right behind him but Texas State Senator Ralph Hall. So you truly have been involved in the history and tradition of Texas A&M University Commerce. You're a frequent visitor to campus, and of course we're always glad to have you come and talk with our students, and the gift of your papers is an incredible treasure trove, and students and scholars will be working through that for many generations. You have served on the Science, Space, and Technology Committee as ranking member, chairman, and now you are the chairman emeritus. You continue to make valiant efforts on behalf of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, or STEM, as we call it for shorthand, STEM education. Why is STEM education so vitally important, both for our students and for the future of our nation?
Well, STEM education is vital to ensure that our nation remains a world leader in innovation and competitiveness. We need well-qualified teachers in STEM fields to prepare students to meet the demands of innovative, high-tech jobs today. And we need leaders in the next generation of high-tech industries. It starts with early grades. Actually, the Science Committee continues to promote STEM education. We've held numerous hearings to explore ways to attract and retain students in STEM fields. We've looked at public-private partnerships that are successfully inspiring all of the future STEM workforce. We held field hearings in Texarkana that highlighted an elementary school dedicated to STEM teaching as one there in Texarkana, and explored how to provide seamless pipeline of STEM education from elementary schools throughout the university levels. As an example of a successful STEM program is, quote, Space Grant, unquote, funded under NASA. Space Grant's based on all states, all 50 states, and is administered through state-based groups. For every dollar of Space Grant funding, these groups contribute an additional dollar to maximize resources in their states. Space Grant funds scholarships. It funds fellowships for undergraduates and graduate students majoring in the STEM fields. This program also supports faculty research and provides outreach to secondary students and teachers. I was privileged to know Bart Garden, then the chairman of the Science, Space, and Technology, and personally took him to Texarkana. It was the first visit that they'd ever had from a chairman of Science, Space, or Technology. And I'm proud that Texas A&M Commerce has received 6 STEM education grants and several other research grants over the past few years. You know, your university is doing an outstanding job preparing their students to be a part of what we call this very competitive workforce.
Well, you're right. We're very proud of the work that we're doing in that field as well, and we are particularly proud of the fact that with your support, we've been able to secure these grants, and we believe in STEM education. We particularly believe in the importance of preparing well-qualified STEM teachers, and of course, that's kind of in our DNA. We have been a teacher's college since 1889, so we always are searching for opportunities to get better. But once again, you have been at the vanguard of that, and we appreciate your innovative spirit.
We're visiting with Congressman Ralph Hall, representative from Texas 4th Congressional District from NPR Studios in Washington, D.C. More after a quick break. By the way, right now is the time to join or renew your membership with KETR during the Spring 2014 Membership Drive. Call 800-882-KETR or visit KETR.org and click on Support This Station. You're listening to The President's Perspective only on your station. Listener-supported 88.9 KETR.
We know you have a lot on your mind, but you flip on 88.9 KETR and suddenly your stress melts away. You find yourself engrossed in the music of Texas. If the music on 88.9 KETR makes the tough times more bearable and the good times even better, make a gift today to keep the music going strong. Call today at 800-882-KETR or securely online at KETR.org. Thanks.
Welcome back to The President's Perspective on your station, 88.9 KETR. We are listener-supported radio for Northeast Texas. Dr. Dan Jones and I are broadcasting from NPR's headquarters on North Capitol Street in Washington, D.C. And our guest represents Texas' 4th Congressional District in the United States House of Representatives, Congressman Ralph Hall.
Congressman Hall, once again, thank you for being with us here today. It's a rare privilege and an honor to be able to spend time with you where in a city where you spend so much time working on behalf of the people from the 4th District. We just got through talking about the importance of STEM education. I'd like to move into another area that involves science and technology. You currently serve as Chairman Emeritus of the Science, Space, and Technology Committee and as the Senior Member of the Energy and Commerce Committee. Both of these committees are very involved with American energy. What do you think America's energy priorities should be and why?
Well, first of all, let me say that other than the words prayer or grace, I think the most important word in the dictionary, especially for youngsters, high school, grammar school, and grandchildren, is the word energy. Our top energy priority ought to be American energy independence. Domestic energy production provides, of course, good jobs, grows our economy, and with full energy independence, we better and could better protect our national security. It's a national security issue. We can achieve American energy independence through what they call all of the above energy solutions that utilize all of the many resources we have in our own backyard. Over the last decade, the United States energy profile has undergone a fairly good shift from declining oil and gas production and dependence on imports to surging production and abundant domestic resources. America has already overtaken Russia to become the largest natural gas producer in the world, and the International Energy Agency predicts that the United States is going to overtake Saudi Arabia to become the world's largest producer by 2020. Americans are certainly growing energy, and their energy success is largely attributable to two things: technological and advances in oil and natural gas production, and two, increased domestic energy production on private lands. And fracking is a big issue. It's the single biggest contributor on why America is now the world's number one natural gas producer. Unfortunately, though, the current administration has done nothing but block these successful efforts, particularly energy efforts, because they don't fall in line with President Obama's green energy pet projects. That's why I'm fighting this administration and have fought this administration and the EPA. I personally questioned EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy many times, and the most recent time, about 15 minutes ago at 10 o'clock this morning, she was testifying and I cross-examined her about the false claims that fracking contaminates water and drinking water. Every witness I've asked, including ones from the administration, has been unable to offer a single bit of proof that their claims against fracking were true. I asked each of them, the administrative appointees to the committee hearing, ask each of them, can you tell me anywhere in the United States where fracking has ruined one glass of drinking water? I have on record there, every one of them said that they could not. So it'll be a battle with this administration, but I'm up for the fight, and I'm going to continue to push for what they call all of the above. That's wind, solar, someday we'll have the sun, maybe oil, coal, natural gas, fossil fuels. Every witness I've asked has been solid on fossil fuels, and they're with us here to stay. I guess I ask, can you tell me anyone in the United States is what I've put that to every person that's been there, and I always remind them that they're under oath. So it'll be a battle with this administration, but I'm up for the fight, and I'm going to continue to push for all of the above energy solutions that promote American and energy independence is what we have to have. And we can be independent. We ought to be sellers of energy and job creation and economic growth. I think there's no question but what their testimony spawns the sand of SMU in the SMU area with the bushes there about our children and about how important our children are and how important it is for them to know about energy. They say that children make up 1/4 of our population and 100% of our future. I think that says it all for me.
Well, I certainly agree with you. If we have such a tremendous opportunity to help bring our children up thinking differently about energy and thinking, in your words, all of the above, and there's certainly no reason for us to be dependent on any one source when America is so richly blessed with so many natural resources, as well as with the creativity and technological innovation, innovative spirit that has been a driver of our nation's economy since the beginning. So we applaud the work you're doing, and of course, not only is it helping secure our nation's future, it is utterly transforming the economy of Texas with the introduction of fracking. It's a new day, and it's the people of Texas are certainly benefiting from it. Let's move to another area along the same lines in your passion, this time of space. You've served on the Science, Space, and Technology Committee since you were first elected to Congress. And that's been a very eventful time in the history of the American space program. America has seen the end of the shuttle program in 2011 under President Obama, and as yet nothing has been proposed to take its place. As Chairman Emeritus of the Science, Space, and Technology Committee, do you believe a space program is relevant today, and what should America's goals in space be for the future?
Well, of course I do, and space that involved the facility at Houston, the only facility in the United States at that time. I had to be on that committee, and energy, Texas is one of 10 energy states. I had to be on energy and commerce. I've been on both of those committees for 34 years, taking a leave of absence from energy at one time to do work on the science to try to keep the president from killing that program. But as in direct answer to your question, a very robust American space program is absolutely relevant today. Our space programs contributed as much or more than any civilian government program to securing America's technological and economic leadership in the world. It also vital to our national security. This is a national security issue. That's why Congress has long supported a robust manned flight program at NASA and rejected the path that the Obama administration proposed for our space agency. When they canceled the Constellation program, they ran a line. The president himself ran a line through the word Constellation. As all leading Americans that NASA has asked to give them studies and give them information, like Norm Augustine and others, when called upon to give NASA guidance, their accommodations and their recommendations were weakened because of the entire NASA budget is much too small. It's less than 0.5% of the annual overall American budget. I think that's a shame because this space station is so important to us, and we have a lot of opportunity to lose it because others are looking at it, looking for it. We need smart investments, and we need defined strategy in our space program, both in space exploration and research and development. We need to continue to develop the capability to go beyond low Earth orbit out into the outer space as China, Russia, and other countries are developing the capabilities to do so right now, right today as we're here. Having this capability will help preserve, I think, our leadership in space and national security. In the meantime, we also need to utilize the International Space Station to the greatest extent possible, as our research efforts in the weightless environment could help us find the cure for cancer and produce technological and medical breakthroughs. I've had Dr. DeBakey walk those halls of all of the committees there when we were about to lose the space station one time, and he told me we should never lose that space station because that's our best hope and maybe our only hope to ever find a cure, that elusive cure for cancer.
Congressman, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I understand that you need to leave for a vote, and we certainly don't want to be blamed for spoiling your excellent voting record. Thank you so much for spending some time with us here today at NPR's Washington Studios. This is the city where you work so hard on behalf of all of the people of the 4th District of Texas, which you have represented so ably and so well for many years. Thank you very much for being with us here today.
And once again, The President's Perspective is a monthly half-hour chat with the CEO of TAMUC, Dr. Dan Jones. Archives of this and other programs can be found online at ketr.org, where you can listen again and again. And while you're there, point that mouse at the button that says Support This Station and make a contribution in any amount in support of great public radio in Northeast Texas. Sincere thanks to our hosts, the good folks at NPR here in Washington, D.C., specifically Emily Dagger, Chris Nelson, and Stu Rushfield, who have accommodated our every need. Thanks to KETR's operations manager, Kevin Jeffries, for orchestrating the broadcast, and Matt Minky for deftly engineering and keeping us on the air back home in Commerce, Texas. Thanks also to Mark Haslett, Daniel Starks, and listeners like you who give in order to make a program like this possible. Next month on The President's Perspective, we visit with Dr. Edward Romero, Chief Diversity Officer at Texas A&M University Commerce, as we rekindle our discussion of the institution's guiding principles. For Dr. Jones, I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.